Welcome to the Parenting is Heart Work podcast. I'm here with Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands, and I'm excited to spend some time with you today and talk about some very important things here in family life. We like to take specific issues. In particular, we're working on a how-to series to try to talk about specific ways that we can deal with various areas of family life. So we've got an important one today, I think. Maybe this is the most important one. I don't know why they're all really important, but this is a very valuable one to talk about. Elena, welcome. I'm glad that you're joining with me today.
Hi, Dr. Scott, and hi, everyone who's listening. Indeed, a very important topic for us today, something that a lot of parents are thinking about. And hopefully we can provide some guidance on how they can coach and guide their children to grow spiritually. As you're listening to this podcast, you might have children who are still young, or maybe teenagers or preteens. And every age has their own challenges, but also so many opportunities to plant seeds, to help guide and open up doors for our children to learn about God and grow in their own journey with God. So I'm very excited, Dr. Scott, because I know besides being a parenting coach, you are also a pastor. And I really want to learn from you today some of your ideas that you can share with us about good practices and also some tips from your own personal life as a parent, but also as a pastor. So let's get started, and let's start by trying to maybe define a bit how would we think as parents about our children's spiritual journey and what our role would be there, Dr. Scott. What would you say?
Well, that's a good question. I think we must go back to this idea that we're disciples of Christ, that we live according to Christ's principles. We're trying to help our children grasp that idea, and they don't get it much of the time. And I think that as Christian families, we often don't embrace the discipleship model like we should. I find that if I look at the Amish community, they do a pretty good job of saying we're different than anybody else. When I look at the Jewish community, Orthodox Jews in particular, they do a pretty good job of defining that they're different than other people. Well, we have all the more reason to do that in the Christian community, but I find many parents wanting their kids to fit in, or they're wanting their kids to feel good about all the friendships that they have. And I think we need to help our children realize that their identity is different than the world, and that the world system is not something that we're buying into, and we don't do things like everyone else. When kids say to us something like, well, other kids get to do this, or you're the strictest parent in the neighborhood or family or the world or whatever, then I think we need to go back to our convictions and help kids see that, look, we're living a particular way because we believe this is the right way, that God has given us instructions about how to live and what we're to do. When Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, walk worthy, which means that there's this sense of matching our activities in life with the calling that God has given to us. He talks about our actions being fitting. Another passage about our actions being proper. All of that defines a different way of living for us than other people experience. We are called to follow Jesus. So that's where I think we start, with our own understanding of what it means to follow the Lord, recognizing that we make choices and we're deliberate about what we do. We don't just go along and follow what everybody else is doing in the school or in the neighborhood or all the friends or with social media or with electronics. We have a plan in mind, and so we evaluate everything based on how that fits into the overall picture of where we're going.
Yeah, that's very true. And also can probably be a bit, challenging for some parents, because indeed, as you mentioned, there is this this tendency in our culture today to try to fit in and to try to be more like the society we are in, so we are accepted. And I find also that, for example, the way our children live and the way maybe Christianity is portrayed makes it maybe harder for us to differentiate ourselves. But there are still things that we as parents can do to help that, to help guide that idea that our children are getting. And I remember as a child that I saw my dad many, many times on his knees. I grew up in Romania. My parents came to faith quite late when we were quite older, not yet out of the house. But I still remember my dad, praying. And I remember that he had so much conviction to go to church and to be there every Sunday. And there are things we can do as parents to let to make a strong impression on our children. Dr. Scott, do you think there are specific things we can do at every age or let's say recommended things we can do at every age and generally some principles that we should guide ourselves on regardless of the age of our children?
I'd like to divide the spiritual education of our children into two broad categories. One category is the academic knowledge that our children need, and that itself is divided further. So I think that we want to work hard to teach our children 200 Bible stories from God's Word. And you don't have to know exactly what the 200 are. Just start reading the Bible and telling the stories to your kids. But when we teach these children these Bible stories, then we are asking the question, what is the lesson we learn from this? So those kinds of things are very important, teaching the Bible stories. I was talking to my grandson. He just came back from Spain this week. He's there with his roommate for the last 2.5 months is a guy from the Netherlands. And they were working in this church, and Hudson is his name. Named after Hudson Taylor, the missionary. And he's 19 years old, and he was teaching in a Sunday school, teaching the Sunday school class in a bilingual group. And he was saying to the people there, my goal is to make the Bible exciting for these kids. I want the kids to be excited about the Bible stories. That's what we want for our children. We want them to see that there's a reason why we study the story of Daniel who prayed, because sometimes the government tells us things we can't do and we obey God rather than men. Sometimes the government tells us to do something that is against his plan. That's why we study the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we don't just bow down to the government or whatever the government says. So kids need to know that we live in a battle. I mean, why is it that that we study the story of Noah and the ark? It's not just so we can name all the animals. It's because we need to realize that we do things and obey the Lord even when we don't understand why, or even when other people laugh at us. That's the academic side, the Bible stories. Another part of the academic side is memorizing scripture. And I know, Elena, this is a very important part on your heart. And we have a resource, actually, at the National Center for Biblical Parenting that you created, where people can have these verse cards. Oh, just such a great solution. And I, if you folks who are listening are interested in more of this, then go on to our website and type at biblicalparenting.org and type in the search field verse cards, and you'll learn more about the whole product line that Elaine has created about memorizing scripture. That's important too. I think that teaching our kids how to memorize lots of scripture is helpful. And the third part is to help our children understand some basic theology. They need to understand that God is the one who created marriage, that God made us male and female, that God created our world. And so the whole idea of creation is important. But then the fall, understanding sin and what that's all about, and then redemption, understanding the importance of the church, all of those major theologies that we understand, kids need to know what they are and why. Because they'll help to fill out some of their knowledge about Christianity. So the first whole big category has to do with the academic side of our faith.
Yeah, so strongly agree with that. And indeed, the memorization, I think, is important. I think children are now like sponges. And even looking at my own faith and my own journey with God, a lot of the... let's say that work that has been done in my heart has been since when I was very young, and when I was going to the church and I heard the Bible being read, and I heard songs being sung. So a lot of the early age are so important. And in fact, Dr. Scott, I wanted to share also this morning, my son this week has been sick, and this morning he woke up earlier coughing and earlier than usual. And he said to me, should we go and read the Bible? We sometimes do that in the morning early if we are awake. And we went and we read, he wanted to read a certain story about David and Bathsheba, for example. So we read that, then we read some other stories from Jesus's parables. And I really didn't know. I asked him, do you actually understand? And he said, no. And so we prayed for understanding, and I explained some things. But what I said to him, I said, look, we read the Bible because sometimes we expect to hear God's talking to us in a voice, but we don't always to hear that voice audible. But when we read the word, this is his voice, and when the more we read his word, the more we can understand and can know how to make decisions, because we're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to make decisions when you grow up, and who to play with and what to do and how to, you know, so for me also, I think for every parent, taking it from that theory part into the more practical part, and how do we teach children to understand the Bible, but also what to do with it, how to put it, you know, how do they do it, and how do they use it in their daily lives, besides, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit, which is so, so fundamental and something we should pray for, of course. And it's God's grace on the hearts of our children. But yeah, I would love to hear from you also practically how we can minister to our children and teach them practically how to live their lives using the Word of God.
Yeah. And so I think that's the whole second big category of spiritual training and development. It has to do with the experiential side of the Christian life. This is where we're praying. This is where we're making decisions, managing emotions, all based on what God is doing. And this really requires the integration of our faith into life. So taking time and praying regularly for things that are going on in life, just talking about the Lord, and you know, and some people are listening to this and their children are resistant to the faith, but that doesn't prevent us from witnessing to them. And we don't want to beat them over the head with the Bible, but sometimes we're saying, hey, here's something the Lord shared with me today. I thought you might like to hear. But children who are responsive to the Lord, I think it's great to say to them, you know, why don't you have your quiet time in the scriptures and come and tell me what you learned, because you're my brother in Christ, we can say to a young man. And I want to hear what you're learning, because God might stimulate something in me from what you share. So in this way, we are taking advantage of the opportunity to help children experience their faith walk. And we're showing them what it looks like in practical terms.
Dr. Scott, how would you talk to a parent or to parents who are in marriages which are not with non-Christians? I am, for example, married to a non-Christian, and he's supportive, but he's not, of course, as dedicated as I am. I know parents who are both Christians, and their adolescents are not going to church anymore. And I know it's heartbreaking for them, and struggle. It's a big struggle for them. How would you encourage these kind of parents who maybe feel that they need to do more, or maybe feel a big pressure from, I don't know, from within and maybe from outside as well?
Yeah. Sometimes parents will come to me and they'll say, you know, I feel like I'm trying, but I wish my spouse would be doing more in this area. And my response is, let's take the influence that we have. Let's try to use this in a powerful way in the life of your family. I mean, you've got a lot of influence on your child. So the vocabulary that you use, the things that you say, the stories you tell to your child, the challenges you give to them, and trying to send them on missions, all of those things you can do with even though a spouse isn't on board. What we're trying to do is do the influence that we can. We can't control other people. But we certainly have an opportunity to share the love of God with others. And there's so much love that God has given to us. We have a lot to share. So I would say, don't be discouraged. I know it can be challenging that you don't have you don't have a spouse that's partnering with you like you'd like, but take the influence you have and maximize that, and your children will benefit from that. So that's why we continue on and work with our kids continually. It's just part of who we are. It's not just what we do. It's who we are. It's part of our identity that we talk about the Lord. We share Christ with people. That's what we do.
Yeah. So true. So very true. I know there are a lot of resources on the Biblical Parenting website, and the training and the coaching in itself, what we are doing as coaches and what some parents are choosing to do, going through this, the training that you're running, Dr. Scott, is solidly based on biblical principles, and what we teach is based on the Bible. And at every step, we encourage parents and we give them tools and we a structure and strategies to help them implement and to help them bring about change using biblical principles. How would you encourage parents who, for example, really don't know where to start, maybe are struggling, maybe they are struggling themselves, not knowing how to present their faith to their children? How would you encourage those in the light of the work you're doing?
Well, I think we want to do several things. If children are young, I'd get a Bible, Christian Bible storybook, a Bible stories for children, and start reading them to your child. So I would just start doing that as part of your interaction with them. Pray with them. If you have a hard time praying out loud, what a great opportunity to learn how to pray out loud with a young child. I think all of that is great. If you have older children and you're trying to influence them and they're already responsive to the Lord, then you want to talk about what God is doing in your life and how to and charge them with the same kind of thing. Tell me what God is doing. How is he speaking to you? What do you think we ought to do in this situation? What is God saying to you? Those are really good conversations to have with young people. And then if a child is unresponsive to the Lord, I think we're trying to model God's grace. Sometimes we require certain things. We still require them, some children, if they're not too old, we require them to read God's word and maybe answer some questions about it. We may still read with them or something. Children are older. Then we're trying to influence them. We may require something like youth group, because God speaks to people at church. That's just what happens. So we're trying to be aware of all the ways. And then we just pray. We just pray that God will give us meaningful conversations, or God will give us opportunities to share. Or, you know, I like to send my grandkids to Christian summer camp because God speaks to kids at camp. I just think, who knows? There's all kinds of different ways. And we're just praying for opportunities that God could use in our lives in order to bring about those changes.
Yes, so true. So keep on praying. Keep on. Let's keep our hope in our Lord Jesus. And indeed, Dr. Scott, such an encouraging message to not to feel discouraged by whether you're part of a family with a single parent that's Christian, or all the challenging circumstances that as parents we can go through. I would like to point parents to all the resources that are on the Biblical Parenting website. I know there's so many resources also for young children, for games that are based on the biblical stories. I know you have books there available. So have a look on the website. You will find a lot of resources there also for you as parents, for your own spiritual development. Feel free to have a look, and also of course go back through our history on the podcast, all the episodes we have a listen. They're usually very short, so they can give you quite some ideas to take on board for your parenting. Dr. Scott, any final thoughts on today's episode on how to guide children to a good spiritual life?
Spiritual strength in a family starts with you. That's what I would say. Now, don't try to ask another spouse to do this. It starts with you. Spend some time with the Lord, pray. And as you're readily experiencing God in your own life, it's going to flow out into your relationship with your spouse and your children, and it'll influence your family. So hang in there, obey the Lord. This isn't about doing something to please people. It's about doing something that honors God. So hang in there with your relationship with the Lord, and God will reveal what you need to do next.
Thank you so much, Dr. Scott. Have a blessed week, everyone.